sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up! You cannot talk!
Wow. Épisode 171. I'm sensitive. I feel everything. I feel everybody. And it goes a little something like this. Hit it! I'm sensitive. I feel everything. I feel everybody.
Message!
One man standing on two words. Heal everybody. Transformation. Then reciprocation. Karma must return. Heal myself. Secrets that I hide. Buried in these words. Death threats. Ego must die. But I let it purge. Pacify. Broken pieces of me. It was all a blur. Mother cried. Put the hands on her. If it was family ties. Can we repeat that? Mother cried. Put the hand on her. It was family ties. I heard it all. I should have grabbed a gun, but I was only 5. I still feel it weighing on my heart. My first tough decision. In the shadows clinging to my soul as my only critic. Damn. Where's my faith? Told you I was Christian, but just not today. I transform praying to the trees. God is taking shape. My mother's mother followed me for years in her afterlife, staring at me on the back of the bus. I wake up at night. Loved her dearly, traded my tears for a Range Rover. Transformation. You ain't felt grief until you felt it sober. I wish I was somebody. Anybody but myself. Ooh, I wish I was somebody. Anybody but myself. Jesus Christ. You know, I'm gonna change that sound effect for some the snap one, because that one is not yeah, whatever. Sorry. Whoa, let's give you hey, you're here. You know when you're watching a TV series and back in the days, that's how they would do it, is the host would be minding their own business, and then they would remember that there was a camera on there. So, hey, boys and girls, you've joined us. So that's what I'm doing. Welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir. check it out. Before I start the show, I need to inform. Who am I talking to? You know what? I'm informing to you, new listeners, especially those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. By that, I mean it's protected by the red, the black, and the green in collaboration with the red, black, and the red, blue. Hoosier Blue is up in this. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question, are you an outcast? I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 12, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be dead with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too. Fuck you too. All right, okay. All right, let's get the show going. It doesn't matter. Let's get the show going. And I have a good feeling. You know what? I have a good feeling about this episode. All right, I'm gonna go with that good feeling, which is rare. Not the good feeling part, but more acknowledging that I'm feeling positive about an episode. So that's the rare part. So let's get this shit going. Okay, sticking with tradition, just to help familiarize you new listeners. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, but I like to call them, but I call them acts, if you will. The first act is the intro, which is what I've done so far. News and random thoughts. Second act is news and random thoughts, and the final act is final thoughts. In the final act, I deliver my final thoughts. That makes more sense, right? In the first act, so far in the first act, what you've heard so far is the theme music. Start out with the theme music. The title of today's episode, which, by the way, I should put in brackets, draft, like it's up for debate. Like I told my, like it started what I am sensitive or I'm sensitive, but I'm thinking I'm going to go with, I feel everybody. I feel everything. Is that the first line? I feel everything. I feel everybody. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. It's along that one. Yeah. What was I saying? Yes. New people. You've heard the title of today's episode, followed up with some poetry where I got the title for today's episode, and the same poetry is linked to the final thought. And everything after that was a greeting and also a kind of like a heads up of the kind of podcast you're about to embark to. And I also had a special specific flavor, like that last part, it's like a viewer discretion advised. It's like, if you're listening to this shit with your white friend, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah. Yeah. If you listen to this with your white friend, it's my way of saying that, yeah, man, this podcast is not a safe place for white fragility. So, yeah, if your white friend is like suffers from white fragility, yeah, this podcast ain't for them. And for you black folks, I kind of specify the kind of blackness you're exposed to. All right? Okay. All right. Now. All right. Now you are up to speed like everyone else. But another thing I like to do in the intro bring up some death anniversary that occurred this week. First one is I'm going to go with RIP Ahmaud Arbery. He was born on May 8, 1994, and he was murdered on February 23, 2020. Another death anniversary I'm bringing up is RIP John Brown. And I know it's the best who ever did it. Born May 9th, 1800. Sorry, I nearly called the millennial baby, but 18, whatever. I'm just trying to imagine being in 1799 and thinking it's the end of the world. That's it. Christ is coming. 1799. Yeah. Then again, as a black dude, I probably had a lot more to think about than other. Oh, my God. Yes. May 9th, 1800. And he died. He was, also murdered on December, murdered by the state on December 2nd, 1859. 59 years old. What the fuck am I doing with my life? Right. Okay. Yeah, those are the two death anniversary that I got. Oh, another thing I like to do in the intro is share a thought. This particular thought, a quote or a thought, but this one I'm going to go with a thought. This thought has me I have no response for it. Like, usually I like when I share a quote, I like to share, reflect on it. But this one has me mouth open, like, I have no response. I it's impacted me, but it's like, wow. So I'm going to, here, I'm just going to play it. All right, here we go. Okay, and you'll probably understand. Let's do this. Okay, here we go.
I am not nice, but I know that I am kind. The kind are the ones who have the courage to be disliked because they refuse to betray themselves. Kind is very different to nice. The nice need to be needed. The nice need to be liked. The kind have the courage to be disliked. Kind is someone who will speak the truth that is for the greater good of all and for the benefit of you, even if you can't see the greater good or the benefit of you or for you yet. Kind is being okay that you are not okay for now.
I'm going to replay that. I'm going to replay that. That's how deep it's gotten. Here we go. Oh, by the way, shout out to Pauline Nguyen. Nguyen. Oh, wow. So she must be Vietnamese. Okay. Pauline, that's her government name. But on TikTok, you'll find her at Pauline N Speaks. Deep. That's deep. Here we go.
I am not nice, but I know that I am kind. The kind are the ones who have the courage to be disliked because they refuse to betray themselves. Kind is very different to nice. The nice need to be needed. The nice need to be liked. The kind have the courage to be disliked. Kind is someone who will speak the truth that is for the greater good of all and for the benefit of you, even if you can't see the greater good or the benefit of you or for you yet. Kind is being okay that you are not okay for now.
Damn. You know what? I do have thoughts, but I'm going to save it for news and random thoughts. All right? So, yeah. Let's do this. All right, here we go. Mm-mm.
Yay!
Don't you like?
Sorry. All right, the laughter is because... right, you can't tell there was a mistake made. No. Okay, what happened is I don't have a soundboard. I'm using a hotkey. I have a soundboard program and I'm using hotkeys, and every once in a while I'm still remembering, I have to memorize what number is what sound and whatever. Anyway, so every once in a while I'll play the wrong sound, right? I'll fuck around and play fuck around and do shit like this, right? I'm paranoid and hitting, yeah, this one. That's for that mistake. You take that, B-Black, take that. All right, okay. You know what's funny is I thought I didn't have any thoughts. I'm following up here, right? What she was saying about kind. The one thing that is probably my third, fourth time listening to this, I lost track. And the one thing, the second time around listening or when I was listening to it, the word that she said that stuck to me was not betraying yourself. I missed that part. Because before, I had no idea. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know the difference. But the key word is, see, I've gone my entire life, my grew up being a nice person. Grew up being a nice person, a bon garçon. I think the first time I got beaten, getting beaten was like, for a person like me, it was kind of traumatizing. And I remember how getting punished like that, I developed this notion of figuring out how to never get on someone's bad side. When I meet another person, I figure out where that, first thing that I go through is find that line and never cross that line so I can project the illusion of being a nice person. But I was nice even to my own detriment. That's where I'm going with this. So that's why those words impacted me like the way they did. it's interesting. I reflect on these words I'm on one of my favorite, and I'll bring this up, right? One of my favorite, subreddit. Subs on Reddit is called the HSP one. And I responded to someone, and someone downvoted me. There should be a rule in that room about getting downvoted. Here's my point. Someone downvoted my comment, and I was obsessed with rewriting my comment or putting a point, say, hey, my intention was not to hurt feeling, not to be disrespectful, not to be controversial in my response. See, that's the thing with Reddit, for those who don't know. On Reddit, you can vote or upvote or downvote a comment. And I guess everyone has their reasons for downvoting a comment. And I was obsessed with the idea that I was probably downvoted because someone... the idea that I did something that was not nice. I crossed someone's line, kept fucking with me. And I... yeah, no, it fucked with me, but I let it go. I let it go while thinking about the idea of being kind. Look, my intention when I responded to that person, to whatever, when I put whatever post, was an honest answer. Someone wrote something that had me thinking about my own. I personalized the response. It just had me thinking. And whatever. So someone chose to downvote my comment, and the idea that someone didn't think that I was not being nice fucked with me. And then now I'm thinking about it. Nah, I was being honest in my response. And through therapy, I'm learning that I can't control how others think, how others perceive it. Like whoever downvoted me had whatever reasons to do so. And just let it be, man. Let it be. All this to say that this is going to be a journey for... Oh, my God. It's a journey for me. Speaking of journey, something I forgot to bring up in the intro, but only because it's a new idea, is when I talk about the kind of podcast this is, I'm realizing this is a new idea that a lot of my podcast has to do with the journey into self-healing, into healing. The journey into healing. That's what it's all about. I guess what I'm saying is my target audience are people who are on a journey into healing. And that's my target audience. There you go. That's my target audience. Yeah. I could, let me put it this way. You and I can't be friends if I can't say words like my therapist told me, or I had a conversation. Basically, if I don't feel comfortable talking about my therapist around you, And when I say friends, let's just be clear. I'm not saying I'm going to be a bad person towards you, but I'm saying I've learned in my age to have a circle and to keep it small. And only because I've realized that a friend to all is a friend to none. So, also, the whole, being a highly sensitive person, you learn to be more mindful of the people you allow in your life, in your circle, because, to the general public, to the average person, you're considered weird, an outcast. There we go.
Are you an outcast?
And the answer is yes. To them, to the general public, you're weird. So, I've learned to stop being friends with people who are like, who spend most of their time obsessed with the fact that you're different from them. And I'm not talking about race. I'm just talking about the way you see the world. Anyway, all right, okay. That was a new thing in the show. All right, okay. So first thing on the agenda. So that was, I just added to the agenda. I freestyled that last segment. Okay, now I'm sticking to the agenda. This one here I haven't read it fully, but I remember I felt the need to read it on the show, and it's more content from Life by Alisa, two S, Alisa, and she's a content creator on she's a content creator, and she specializes in being a highly sensitive person mentor. Anyway, so every once in a while she prints out, she's very generous in terms of putting content out on the internet, like free stuff, but a lot of it is to, I mean, it's helpful, but also advertising her service at the same time. Anyways, so this is, gotta give that plug, just that acknowledgement. And this one here had me thinking. She's got not trusting yourself, sounds like, and she's got a whole bunch of sentences around that first title, and it goes like this. I'll start with, I'm going clockwork, starting from 12 o'clock. It goes, not trusting yourself sounds like, should I have said that? Things you would say. Maybe I'm being dramatic. Let me ask 5 more people before I decide. Oh, shit, I can relate to that one. Am I making too big of a deal? Is this just all in my head? Yes, I can relate so much to that. Okay, so second page. When you don't trust yourself, so this is Alicia talking. When you don't trust yourself, you might let other people walk all over you because you're afraid of speaking up and then dealing with potential conflict. You may feel resentful in your relationship because you aren't expressing your needs out of fear of being, quote unquote, too much. Do I really need that? You have low self-confidence because you're always deferring to others the answers and struggles to make a decision. You're deferring to others for the answers and struggles to make a decision. Shit, man. This thing's going to make me mad. Okay, hello. No, she's right. She's right. But I just got triggered into another thought, a memory here. Low self-trust will have you listening to online gurus you've never met rather than listening to yourself. interesting. It'll have you second guessing every move you make. It'll have you second guessing every move you make. In quotation. Wait, but she doesn't do it this way. Am I doing it wrong? Ha 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 ha. So I gotta add, I mentioned that I don't like when I have a different opinion than someone I consider smarter than me. I mentioned that before, but this is interesting. She said that. All right. It'll have you constantly seeking someone else's opinion, assuming everyone else knows better than you. Low self-trust keeps you in relationships that you don't feel good because you question if their behavior is really that bad. Yep. Oh my God. It keeps you in a loop of anxiety that disrupts your sleep at night because you're constantly questioning if you said the right thing. Shit. It holds you back from following your dreams, being authentically yourself, and saying what you actually want to say. If you want to feel more confident and content in yourself and your own relationship, build your self-trust. Damn, man, she hit with this one. Okay, what she put in the comment section? Let's see. She goes, how do we become someone we trust? By keeping small promises to ourselves. Oops. By showing ourselves that whatever decision we make, we can handle whatever happens next. By healing the deeper reasons why we feel we can't trust ourselves. We'll be covering this inside the Confident and Content Relationship. Enrollment opens May 13th. Oh, that's tomorrow. All right. Okay. Interesting. Okay. My own thoughts on this one. Wow. That's very true. I'm trying to think. A personal anecdote. Don't trust myself. Yes. Okay. I know for people who know me, I actually have a temper. No, that's not a good example. Okay, my point is, because of this temper, where I was going with this, because of the temper, I've learned to, it's not the best way to go about it, but with strangers. It's only people who are close, like family, who see this temper. But people outside, I've learned to repress the urge to be like, what the fuck did you say? When I feel the temper coming up, I've learned to like, I don't know, this is me with a fire extinguisher. Or to don't say the first thing that's on your mind. Don't make a scene because I know, yeah. So I guess what my issue is with this thing is not issue. I'm not saying what she said. It's because I'm making this compatible with my own thinking. I'm trying to integrate what she's saying, try to observe it, like, you know. But I'm saying the way I see it, for me is, how do you stop yourself from being those people who say the wrong things? So I guess what I'm saying is, the tactic I've been using is doubting myself in every moment. Believe your first response is going to be wrong. And this here is saying, build some self-trust. I guess, long story short, this is an interesting take, an interesting thought. And actually, I'm just going to let this one marinate. Just like the I'm not nice and trusting yourself, I'm going to let this one marinate instead of talking more than
if you find yourself annoyed by disruptive.
Sorry about that, gang. Sorry about that. Okay. Like, pause. Okay. Now, this segues to my the next clip that I'm going to play. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me make sure the agenda is, you know, let me get rid of what I've covered so far. Okay, so next on the agenda. Okay, yeah, disruptive protest. So this week, a friend of mine posted something about if I find it, I'll put it in the show notes, but about a statistic about how the average Canadian agrees that disruptive protests are bad or do not serve a purpose. And I love that she shared that because I was thinking is, I'm going to say this as a Canadian so I could get away with saying this, but in Canada, we're surrounded by people who honestly don't know how fucking good they have it in this country. Oh, you know what? Okay. All right. Sorry. Don't know how good they have it. Okay. Before I continue to elaborate on that thought, what I'm saying is disruptive protest is fucking take that, man. People have a right to disagree. I'll give them that, right? And then sometimes that disagreement is, and people have the right to have their disagreements heard. I agree with that. And sometimes those disagreements require disruptive protests. And I'm gonna play this clip by Zero Wolf. Okay, not Wolf. Okay, WOLFE. That's the long English word. Wolf. I guess so. Wolf. That's how you pronounce it. Yeah. And homie's got a take that I really appreciated. And I couldn't say it any better than him. So let's take it. Let's go. So here we go.
If you find yourself annoyed by disruptive protesting, I just want to remind you, and I've talked about this before, but the French Resistance, you know, the guys who were fighting the Nazis in Vichy France, made up about 1% of the population, and the majority of the French population found them annoying. Because the French Resistance networks were an instrumental part of fighting the Nazis, and they played a key role in the liberation of France. And that key role was largely being disrupted. They bombed factories, they destroyed train tracks, they destroyed roads, they destroyed power lines, they destroyed telecommunications lines, which were all, you know, key instruments of the occupation and the Nazi regime, and destroying them and disrupting them was, again, instrumental in fighting back against the Nazis. But all of those things they destroyed and disrupted were also in France being used by French people, and so the majority of French people, while not directly collaborating with the Nazis, were going, "Yo, what the fuck? Where's the road? I'm just trying to go get groceries. This is, what the, why doesn't the phone work? What's going on?" Like, is that who you want to be? Is that who you're going to be in this situation? Wow, the destruction of the apparatus of this fascist regime is really inconvenient for me in my day-to-day life. Like, yeah, it is. People are dying. Suck it up. In the link tree in my bio, both here and on Instagram, there's a link to a master list of fundraisers for Palestinians fleeing Gaza, which has been thoroughly vetted by a trusted network of Palestinians. The situation on the ground in Rafah is not a reason to give up or to lose hope. They need money now more than ever. You should go throw some money at them.
You know what? I'm sorry. I just got distracted. There's, you know, when the video ends and it shows you a whole bunch of, hey, you may like, well, yeah, one of the videos is a very attractive woman in skates, and I'm fighting, you know, let me minimize, fighting the urge tonight. to forget that I'm listening to them. I'm in the middle of recording a podcast and just to hit play. Because I'm a sucker, all right? That's how you get. That's how these marketing folks get us, man. All right, okay, focus, B. What was I saying? Oh, right. You know, the first thought, I'm going to go with the first thought here. What gets me the most about these protests going on, specifically for Palestine or Congo or anything like that, right? Anyone who's speaking out on it. One is all these people are suffering from empathy. They're victims of their empathy. They're seeing what's going on across the world. Sure, it doesn't affect them. And it fucks with them, like all of us. Like, we're just like, it just fucks with us. Wishing we could do something about it. And these folks, the protesters, they're doing something about it. I admire, I applaud them. If I'm late for work, if I'm late for the fuck, I'm going to miss my flight, whatever, I applaud them. Sure, it's an inconvenience, but I would rather that than motherfuckers like, you know what? Suicide bomber time. Terrorism. But even, yeah, I would rather that disrupt. Look, we got it fucking good in this country, man. And if the worst that happens to you is you're going to be late for work. And if you got a boss that's like insensitive to the fact that, yo, there was fucking traffic, you get fired over that shit. Oh, man, consider it a favor. Look, they were looking for reasons to fire you, man. Anyway, look, because I remember one of the people who replied, back to the post shared by my friend about the statistics of Canadians not liking disruptive protests. And the person who said, he replied with, like, I'm be careful not to engage these people because a lot of them are like, ain't shit you can tell them. This disruptive protest conversation showed up. I remember a friend of mine one of those friends who I considered smarter than me, spoke against disruptive protests. And I was like, shocked. I'm not saying my opinion changed, but I was like, just shocked. And they were shocked, but I guess it was one of the rare times that I felt comfortable in my own opinion but I just know that a lot of these people, their mind can't be changed. All I know is the only thing I can say is, bro, read history like the homie just did, bringing up the French Revolution, the French Resistance. The Resistance. If you're a fan of World War II, yeah, man. Those motherfuckers were disruptive. They cut power line and shit. Okay, yeah, power lines. They broke shit. They made it very inconvenient for these Nazis to do their Nazi shit. It's like, we're about to gas them, but we ran out of fucking... Someone put a hole and there's a gas leak. Okay, that was a bad joke. But my point is, they were on the right side of history. I hate having to explain empathy to a human being, so I don't bother doing it anymore. Younger self, yeah. If you don't get it, you don't fucking get it. But where I'm going with this is, I think the first point I was trying to make is a lot of highly sensitive, empathetic human beings are in those protests. Sure, I'm sure there's a few guys in there trying to pick up chicks. But I mean, yeah. But for the most part, it gets me, if I'm sharing this shit, sorry, I was about to go on a road trying to justify why I'm sharing this content, and I'm reminding myself, B, it's your goddamn podcast. All right, okay, let me get back to the point that I was trying to make is one of the guys who was disagreeing with me about how we got it good in this country, and I'm trying to remember what he said. He said something about the line of, he said, look, And I read this person's profile. I saw a lover of capitalism. Basically, he's on the other side. He's like conservative and all that shit. But he said the one thing, we're like, oh, fuck. We have an agreement somewhere. The one thing he said is, look, I get it. And I'm paraphrasing. He goes, I get it. Your beef is with rich people. All I'm saying is save the beef for them. Keep the beef with them, but don't fight us working folks. And I wanted to reply. I didn't bother replying because I knew I didn't want to go back and forth with this dude back to back. Yeah. fuck, I look like Drake. Bad joke, bad joke. All right, I didn't want to go back and forth with this guy, but what I was thinking of replying was, I was just going to celebrate the fact that, okay, I'm going to stop at the fact that we agree at who the problem is, who the enemy is, the fucking rich. The difference between you and me, sir, is our disagreement on how we attack this problem. Well, the one thing him and I have in common, I will say, but again, didn't put that in the comments, is the fact that me and him are on the outside. While people are boots, like people, the protesters, like I do not compare myself to the protesters because they have way more courage than I. Like they're actually doing shit. I'm just a guy on the sideline going, yay, all right, okay, do your thing. I'll be on the internet defending your cause. I'm no better than the dude who's like, fuck those guys. I'm on the way, I'm trying to, you know, fucking interrupt. I'm trying to get to the strip club here. I'm trying to make it to last call, and these motherfuckers are in the way. All right, so, what I'm trying to say is, I wish I could get... See, this game is fucking rigged. They got us fighting each other. I wish I could get homie to understand, like, bro, we understand who the enemy is. Now, let's try to agree on how to go about fighting the enemy. Now, these protesters aren't attacking you, aren't attacking your livelihood. That's not the intention. Unfortunately, that's just a casualty. If you're late for work and you get fired over that shit, yo, you got a shitty boss. If you can't tell them, yo, them fucking, if you can't show up to work and just say them fucking libtards were blocking traffic, that's why I'm late for work. If you get fired over that shit, the libtards aren't your problem. Your fucking boss is. Second, like the French Revolution, the reason, this is an attack on the rich. Disrupting, causing disruption. The point is for shit to escalate to management. To be like, yo, this fucking war in Palestine is bad for our business. That's the thing with war. One side is trying to get the other side to be like, okay, it usually starts when someone says, okay, this shit is bad. Fuck the mafias like that. This war is costing us money. This shit is bad for business. Let's figure out a better way to handle this conflict. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. All right, okay. Let me see. Did I have one more note? Did I have any notes? Okay, yeah. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Disruptive protest. I'm trying to get into this habit of not speaking more than I need to because I love doing that. I do that subconsciously, but yeah. Okay. I'm going to save this clip, that pretty woman, for later. Okay. All right. So this is the last item I have on my, not bad for time, B. Last item I have for using random thoughts. Even though I realized I didn't cover a lot of news, but doesn't matter, whatever. Yeah, because the last episode was long, so I'm trying to keep this one short. Also, that final thought might be long. So, okay, last thought. Sorry, I'm laughing because, why am I apologizing? I'm laughing because, I'm reading this thought, it's about Kendrick Lamar. What? You gonna talk about Kendrick Lamar again? Yes, you know why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. All right, okay. Apparently some of you are Kendrick Lamar, Drake fatigue. But unfortunately, this is not the podcast for you. okay. Someone wrote this thought that I found interesting. And this one is the Kendrick Lamar subreddit. And it goes, things I heard about Kendrick Lamar before April 30, 2024. So before he dropped Euphoria. Yeah, after even though it's a minor diss, yeah. Before Euphoria, he goes, shit that's been said about Kendrick. He isn't battle tested. He's not built for this. J. Cole would wash him in a beef. Now, I never heard that one. No fucking. Future and Travis are bigger than him. A white person must have said that shit. Women don't listen to him. I don't know about that. They don't play him outside or at the club. I wouldn't know. I haven't been in the club in a while. He doesn't have quotable lyrics. Okay, that's some bullshit. Okay, holy fuck. Why am I sharing this shit? But apparently, that's what whoever shared this, that's what they believe. I will say this about Kendrick Lamar prior to April 30th. I remember when he first came out, when he was a new artist, and people were annoyed by his voice. Not his voice, like the way people were annoyed about Tupac's. People say they were annoyed by Tupac's voice. Yeah, you kids don't know. You weren't there. But that, yeah, but Kendrick Lamar was original, the way he expressed himself, the way he would like his vocal variety on some people find that shit annoying. And I remember, it's not that I found it annoying, but he was like, who is this fucking guy? And Kendrick Lamar only got on my radar after It's Amazing. Yeah, I was like a late starter for Kendrick Lamar. Not to say that I'm a complete fan. This is what happened. Okay. Kendrick Lamar got on my radar as, okay, someone I need to pay attention to. When he first got on my radar is BET Cypher, the first one he did. And I admire this. And he was a big artist at the time. Like he was growing. Like he was a big name. He was a big latest West Coast rapper. And what I admired about him is he did a BET Cypher, and there was several other rappers. There was a Corrupt, Snoop, DJ Quick, right? And then him, Kendrick Lamar, and I can't remember who the other rapper was. He's, again, another upcoming. And what I found amazing is how, despite the fact that he was a big star at the time, a big name, he respected protocols. And in this cypher, is they had the OGs sitting at the table, and the new ones, the up and comers, like the Christopher Moltisanti before he was made, standing up on the side, like ready to like, okay, you want me to get you some cigarettes, whatever. So basically, he acknowledged the fact that these guys are the OGs. And I'm saying it was a big deal at the time because back then, a lot of young rappers were like, man, fuck the OGs. Like, gave us that impression like they had no respect for the OGs. So I admire the fact that he respected the OGs, despite the fact that he was a bigger name than these guys. Now, granted, maybe it was different in California, but from my perspective, from the consumer perspective, I was like, wow. So that's how he got on my radar. Fast forward to Mad City. Yeah, I think, Mad City. Yeah, Money Trees was a great song. To Pimp a Butterfly really was like, okay, you're a disciple of Pac. Fast forward to Euphoria, I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, okay, I see Pac. This is your messenger. I see what you're saying. Okay, now, Pac, you're in heaven or wherever in the afterlife. And now I swear my sword to your messenger that you sent us, Kendrick Lamar. Where I'm going with this is, since Euphoria, I've been like in awe. Like I've been enjoying going through his lyrics and looking them up, finding deeper meaning. Now, in this particular case, for this episode, I should bring up, I have three episodes dedicated to the beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, even though it was more like, bias. Is it bias? Is it? I'm like, I was more on Team Kendrick. Yeah, this shit is funny, man. Euphoria made me say, okay, after Euphoria came out, I was like, again, this is for people who haven't, I'm talking to new listeners, right? People who are familiar with this have heard this already. But yeah. Euphoria made me say, after Euphoria came out, I was like, yeah, I need to distance myself from Drake. But okay, oh my God. Right. So, I'm segueing to the final thoughts. So the final thought, I'm going to talk about the song Mother Eye Sober. Okay, so all this to say, we're finishing the second act and we're jumping to the third act. And the, I'm trying to remember where everything is. Yeah, to the third act. And then, and get another podcast episode for the books. All right, okay, let's go. All right. Okay. Stop saying Abby. Okay, let's go. All right. So, first things first. I Papa freaks all the honeys, dummies, playboy. Okay. What's up with the title? What's up with the title? Okay, I pretty much explained it. The title comes from the song by Kendrick, Mother Eye Sober. By the way, sheer coincidence that today's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, Happy Mother's Day. I'm gonna say Happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there and those of us with complicated relationships with our mothers. Now, complicated. That's I'm using a vague term to mean that your relationship with your mother is not the same way the general public or the way it's advertised in Hallmark cards. It's just whatever. Whether you're speaking to them or you're not speaking to them, or whether it's just complicated relationship with the mother, with your mother, with them. There are people going through this day and they're like hating or not having a good time. That's what I'm trying to say. So happy Mother's Day and to the mothers and people struggling through this day. All right. Okay. Mother I Sober. And the title is actually the first verse, the first three things that are said at the beginning of the song, which is I'm sensitive, I feel everything, I feel everybody. Now, for briefly, the title will probably be just I'm sensitive because I'm focusing, but I want to focus on the idea I'm sensitive. I also like I feel everything, I feel everybody because it feels like a synonym. But yeah, this is the creative process. I think I'm going to go with I'm sensitive. Just keep it simple, B. All right. Where do I start? I've had this song on repeat. For those of you who don't know, what inspired me listening to the song is because Drake, in his last diss track to Kendrick, he made reference to that song. He goes, Mother I. And he made reference to that song to diss Kendrick. Now, I heard Rod on the Black Guy Hotel say something like, yo, dude, you say personal shit on a record. He didn't say it this way, but he goes, you play personal, it's open to criticism. It's open for, basically, it makes it okay. Your enemies will use that against you. And I understand that, you know, that reasoning. But what I am saying, speaking for myself, I don't respect Drake for doing that. I think for me, it's the equivalent of showing up to a AA meeting and listening to someone's story and then leaving there and being, and then using that story against that person. I'm not saying he couldn't do it. I'm saying I don't respect the outcome. You know, I get to have an opinion about that. Yeah, I don't respect anyone who takes something that was shared from sheer vulnerability and then uses it against them. Granted, have I done it? Sure, of course I've done it, you know, especially if you're a man, you know, you're a man and you're looking, what can I find something to be sensitive about? Okay, that's not the topic of the conversation. Oh, okay, I have difficulty staying focused on one thought. My point is I want to share my thoughts about the song Mother I Sober. And I got to be honest with you, man. I thought I understood the song, but turns out there's a lot of details that I don't fully understand what he's saying in the song. And it turns out I'm not the only one. But what I can share is, what I do know is, and what I do appreciate from this song, one is how it made me cry on the way to work. Sorry, I didn't cry, but I'm saying, sorry. If I did cry, I wouldn't. I'm not saying that's out of shame. Well, I didn't cry. I was no bitch. No, it made me emotional on the way to work. There was gray skies. I was stuck in traffic, and the song was playing, and I had to grasp the meaning of what he was explaining in the song, and I remember that shit made me emotional. Emotional to the point where I had to lie to coworkers and be like, "Yeah, B, you look down. No, it's the fucking weather. Whatever." But it was actually the song. Second is, what I appreciate about the song is the vulnerability by a man. He reminds me of Pac. He reminded me of Tupac, who, when he talked about Brandon's Got a Baby or Dear Mama, how he expressed the fact that he grew up with a mom who was addicted to crack. Fuck that. Cindy was my dope fiend mother. And that's a big deal. That's back then, people were shamed for being, it's not like fentanyl, whatever, where people are being supported. Back then, you were shamed for being on crack. It was a personal failure on your part. It was like equivalent to being fat. Oh my God, just stop taking the crack, whatever, right? No one saw it as, holy shit, crack is providing you a relief from the fucked up shit going on in your life. So the fact that he shared that with us, Tupac shared that with us, was powerful. The fact that Kendrick shared this story with us was powerful. The two parts that I understand is something happened to him in his childhood. The way I understand it is as a child, when he was 5 years old, his mom pressured him into, okay, I see the traumatizing part. Pressured him, not to say that he needs to justify his words, but I'm understanding the message I believe he's trying to convey. But when he was 5 years old, he learned that, if I'm not understand, that his mother was abused. You see, that's where the confusion comes. At 5 years old, the thing that I know for sure is when he was five, his mom pressured him into saying that he was abused by his cousin. And the thing, and I say he's pressured him, but he was asked, hey, did he touch you? And he was like, no. And she said, no, you sure? No, he did. Don't lie to me. And his mom did that because she was abused as a child. And I imagine it must have been the same relative. And so she figured that the acorn doesn't fall short from the tree. She figured that this relative must have abused him because, you know, you're hiding it the same way I used to hide it. Be honest with me and whatnot. But I imagine, because he talks about how it fucked with him as an adult. And I'm trying to imagine it from his perspective. He's 5 years old and he's being asked, hey, were you touched? I'm like, yeah. I mean, no. Touched in the no-no part. So what? People do, like, I'm wondering, being asked if you were molested when you weren't molested at that age, I wonder if it's as fucked up as when I still remember, I think I might have been 7 years old when I discovered pornography. What happened? Some asshole thought it'd be funny to just dump their pornography in a garbage bin near a school ground. So what the fuck is that kid doing in the garbage bin in the first place? But whatever. Some kid found it and shared it with the rest of us. Wait a minute. Shared it with the rest of us. And I remember looking at those pictures and being fucking confused at what I was looking at. It's like, wait a minute. That's the thing you pee out of. I remember, just being confused out of those images and how it made me feel. Now, at the time, I thought, whatever, boys will be boys, whatever. At the time, I didn't think nothing bad happened to it. But fast forward, I'm realizing that, wow, it fucked up my understanding of sex. Actually, early at the beginning of the show, I was talking about a question I was answering on the Highly Sensitive People page, and someone was asking a question about, or was discussing, was bringing up how they're terrified of sex. They didn't like sex, but they're terrified of sex. Now, the story they were going into, I don't think I can relate to it, but the specifics of their story, I don't think that's what they were talking. For me, it just made me think of how I've had a fucked up relationship with sex. Sex was always a weird thing for me. And I ended up coming up with maladaptive coping mechanism, so to speak. I guess what I'm saying is discovering porn at that age led to me having a fucked up relationship with sex. That's what I'm trying to say. So speaking for Kendrick, yeah, he talked about you had to go into therapy to deal with it. Now, the other part where I got wrong, I initially thought this song was about why Kendrick believed he had issues with sobriety. He had an addiction with alcohol. I thought it was a song about how that issue led to him developing an addiction. That's what, you know, but what he was saying is, because he was saying shit like, what's that line? He goes, " You ain't felt grief till you felt it sober. You ain't felt shame till you felt it sober. He brings that up. And you ain't felt pain till you felt it sober. So I used to think that's what he was saying. It's like, you know, he was going for this grief. We're drunk, and then once he became, but the real pain hit him once he became sober. I thought that's what he was saying, but no, he was saying that, yo, this shit, I think he was saying, look, the shit that happened to me, that experience as a child was fucked up to a point where I understand why someone would have an addiction. That's why he brings up sober. Because, anyway, later on in the song, he talks about how he mentions how he's never had an addiction. He's never, you know, smoked. I don't know if he actually said never smoked weed or stuff like that. But it was, he never had an addiction, but he did have a addiction. And it was sexual. It was sex. And he talks about how he cheated on his, I imagine it was fiance, girlfriend. I understand that he's known her since high school. And he cheated on her. And he brings up the beauty of how, despite the fact that he hurt this woman's feelings, I mean, the relationship, he fucked up the relationship, but this woman was still able to look out for his help, to help him get up, to help him with the reason why he cheated on her. And he talked about, but long story short, he ended up going into therapy. But the real beauty of this song is towards the end. I mean, no, the whole song is beautiful. But what I like about something that he mentions, and that as black people we can all relate, is how, yo, we all fucked up. Especially slavery fucked us up, boys and girls. It's something that's rarely get talks about. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that, you know, well, I'm going to speak for myself as being someone who grew up around white people. I was learned to, you know, slavery was that conversation you never had with a white person. You're like, you know, keep it to your, shut it the fuck down. As far as they're concerned, slavery never happened. It's better to walk amongst them with that notion. Well, what's slavery? But we never took the time to be like, yo, this is how slavery fucked you up. To reflect on the damages, not just financial, but the generational trauma, the shit that was passed. Like, I believe the reason why black people beat their kids, I believe that's part of slavery. That's where those notions came from. Disciplining, like, we tell ourselves we're disciplining our child, but the truth is, sure, maybe you're disciplining them, but for some child, you're fucking them up. The first time I ever found myself reflecting on, holy shit, that's right, we've never really taken the time to think about the damages done by slavery was after watching the Black Panther movie. And and it made me realize how Killmonger was a response to trauma and whatnot. Yeah, slavery was traumatizing, but I don't need to go into it, right? But, and again, all we were given was religion to pacify the damages of slavery. But we never took the time to be like, hey, talk to a professional. You might want to consider the possibility that if you're a black person, part of your existence is to stop the generational trauma that was passed on for you from your ancestors. You're the ones to be like, okay, it ends here. Sure, we used to do shit that way. We used to do these maladaptive, I'm using a language that my therapist uses, maladaptive coping mechanism. Yeah, I'm the one who acknowledges this behavior. Like, shout out to all my friends with kids who don't beat their child. Their parents did it, but like, shout out to my friends who are an upgrade to their parenting style is an upgrade to the parenting style that they got. Some of them, not to say that they were bad, but it was just like, hey, let me just tweak some of this shit. Where was I going with this? Yeah, so what I like about this song is how he reflects on the idea, or he brings up the whole, we all fucked up. Again, paraphrasing. We all fucked up. And we need to find the courage to address the part that makes us fucked up. Right. So what I was saying is Killmonger was a response to trauma that I was familiar with. Like being like, yo, fuck that. We killing our enemies. And then T'Challa was another possible response. I don't know if I'm making sense. I know what I'm trying to say is I was used to slavery happen. We're fucked up. Rage, the anger, and whatever. But I've never saw a world past that anger, past that rage. I'm not saying forgive white people and shit like that, but there is a thing that needs to be addressed. Look, I think the bottom line is part of that reparation deal should be like, yo, black people are entitled to, like, the government should be paying for for our therapy. You know, and I say this because I'm thinking of a friend who was explaining to me how her grandparents were orphans and how they passed that on to their child. And, you know, that's kind of fucked up. You know, you were not institutionalized, but there's a lot of... you know what? Okay, I could say, you know, for the sake of... Everyone would benefit... Well, not everyone, but therapy. we're all fucked up, sure. But I'm speaking to the specific kind of fucked up that slavery created. And I guess it brings me back. It's another thing that I like about the song is those two lines where he says, "Heal every one man standing on two words, heal everybody." But the word healing. I'm a belief that we all. Okay, I'm gonna stop preaching. I realize I'm getting preaching, but and this is what I meant. This song is also why I'm trying to figure out how in my intro, how in the intro to the podcast where I talk about it's a safe space for my thought, bring up the fact that it's a healing. It's part about this podcast is about healing. It's about my healing journey. It's about encouraging each other to be on a healing journey, right? To stay on a healing journey because I can't convince you to heal. Like, I have a friend, shout out to her. She has no idea. Like, I'm really in my early days of therapy. And she was used to going into therapy. And what I enjoyed talking about her is she knew everything. Like, I remember the early days. I'm like, yeah, I feel like quitting. This shit is bullshit. It's like natural. It's natural for you to feel that way. It's natural for this to happen. It's natural. And it helped having someone to talk about being in therapy or just having therapy session or some of the concepts that I picked up during therapy. In a way, yeah, I'm trying to replicate that with this podcast. But with that said, One final thought about the song. It goes, I mentioned Mother's Day. Yes. I mentioned Pac being sensitive. Yes. Okay, the last one is, there's a part of the song where, the last part of the song, it goes, and had me thinking, and it's like offbeat, like the beat is done, the song, and it's just like, it's a true Kendrick fashion. There's a part where someone's singing, the artist's name, the singer's name is Sam Dew, and they say, "Before I go fast asleep, love me for me, I bear my soul, and now we're free." And I bring this up because in there, there's a part where he says, okay, so according to the genius annotation, rap genius, these last two lines bring the album full circle, resuming the melody and a choral sound that began the first song of the album, United in Grief, with, okay, this part that I'm trying to bring up. I hope you find some peace of mind in this lifetime. I hope you find some paradise. And that one had me thinking, granted I was high, but it had me thinking about the notion of finding peace in this life as opposed to outside this life. I've always saw life as, I think the Buddha said this, life is suffering. I always saw life as a big pain in the ass and the relief comes at the end. And this idea of finding peace while in this life is like mind-blowing for me. And I'm realized maybe that's the journey. That's part of, like, that's what I mean by healing. Like, the outcome of healing is inner peace. It's important for me to bring this up because I remember when I'm believing in, like, being one of those people who couldn't see past the idea of, yo, the best solution to my problem is death. Death would be doing me a great favor. I remember having that belief. Like, I was, again, not sure if that made me suicidal, but I know I was like, yeah, life is a pain in the ass right now. And I remember believing how much, ooh, the sweet relief of death. And the idea of finding that relief while alive, that's, wow. I guess that's what we mean by healing. You're healed when you found that peace. So I'm just going to end with get healed or die trying. No, or find peace or die trying. That's the journey, boys and girls. That's the journey. That's the journey. I want to say it's the destination is inner peace. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Or the destination is healed. Past tense. Being healed. But until you, yeah, or you're healing and being healed. And you know what? Okay, this is a longer conversation. With that said, I'm going to end today's episode. I've said everything I needed to say. This concludes today's episode. I'm going to scribble this thing. I'm not going to tell you to holler at me on social media because I don't believe in social media. Because on the last episode, I talked about how my account got suspended. And since then, I don't trust social media. But I will tell you, if you want to, I would love to hear from you. I would love to get your feedback, especially if you're on a journey to healing. Let's talk. Holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. Go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. At the website, you'll be able to find a means to contact me, including by email via shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Sorry, let me clarify. You can email me or you can go to the website and hit the beautiful contact us. Also on the website, you'll find the RSS feed to subscribe to this podcast. And yada, 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 you know, you can find us on most podcast network and all that shit. You know what? I'm just going to end it here and say thank you for listening. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You have no idea how much. Hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed producing it, making it. And thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!